What's up, and welcome to the Real Life Podcast. Real Life is the student ministry of North Highland Church located in Columbus, Georgia. We exist to reach others with the love of God, engage in Christian community, advance in our faith, and lead others to Christ. For more information about Real Life, you can visit us at reallifecolumbus.com or follow us on all social media platforms at Real Life Columbus. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy.
What is up, Real Life? Yes. Come on. Oh, come on. Y'all can do better than that. What's up, Real Life? Yes. What is up? What is up? I'm going to get myself situated here for a second. This is a lot smaller of a stand than I thought it was going to be. Sorry. What's going on, guys? Y'all ready for tonight? Yes. I am so ready. One of the first things, I promise this is going to come out in a second. Okay. Okay, so I have been looking forward to this night for so long, for what is exactly like 3 weeks now, but I've also been dreading it in the sense of I'm so grateful that I'm able to come up here and speak to you guys. However, I have the biggest case of stage fright. I know you guys may not think, and I know it probably sounds kind of odd because I'm up here every week. With the honor to lead you guys in worship, but speaking in larger crowds of like more than five people, like my legs are just shaking. But I know that I have God on my side. I have God on my side. Not only do I have God on my side, I get to speak to the best students in the entire world. Come on, give it up for yourselves. Y'all are the best students in the world. Yes, you guys are absolutely insane. I love worshiping with you. Man, dude, that worship set was like fire. Before I get started tonight, I feel like it wouldn't be right if I just came up here and started preaching without giving a couple shout-outs. One to PJ. Shout-out to PJ. Thank you. Yeah, give it up for PJ. Yeah. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak tonight. I know that it is like just a burden. Not a burden. I don't know what I'm saying. I just thank you for letting me speak tonight. But I don't think you guys understand. Like, I wouldn't be up here if it wasn't for that man right there, sitting right there. Like, I would not be anywhere close to being a worship leader. Like, I might still be doing like some music, YouTube covers. Don't look me up, please. It's very embarrassing. But I would probably be doing something like that if it wasn't for that man. Without the direction, leadership, and the mentorship that you have given me over the past, four or five years. So thank you so much. And I know, like, I'm not going to keep going on, I promise. I'm not going to keep going on about you. But guys, like, y'all hear me when I say this. Please don't take for granted that you guys have Pastor Jonathan as your student pastor. Please do not take for granted that you guys have a pastor who truly cares and loves for you guys, is constantly praying for you guys. We'll just be like in the middle of our week, like on a Monday, and he'll just be in the chapel right over here, just like blaring to worship you, I live. Just like going in, praying for you guys. So please do not take for granted the fact that he loves you. Also want to give a shout out to his wife, Jubilee. Where you at? Jubilee! Yes, Jubilee. Thank you for him for making, I can't say it, but like, what, your smoking hot wife? I'm not allowed to say that. But thank you. I can't see you, sorry, this light. Thank you for pushing me to learn about Jesus more than just the surface level, for wanting to throw chairs in your classroom. If you guys don't know, I am a student at CLC, and she's my professor. That is my professor back there. She controls whether or not I graduate. So, also me, but mostly her. And lastly, to my family, I think you guys are over here. My mom and my family from Boston are over here. Yeah, shout out to my mom. Y'all, mom, can you stand up for a second? That is my mom. Yes. That is my mom. Yes. Woo. Mama, if you guys have not met Mama Terry, first of all, if you ever come over to our house, we have the best snacks. Snacks on, like, you guys know I love food. It's because she cooks for me. Like, it is the best food ever. I would not be where I am today without my mom. I don't know if you guys can tell, but I am a mama's boy. 100% I am a mama's boy. Yeah, I just love that lady so much. I wouldn't be where I am today without. Love you. I know I just said lastly, but I have to follow after Clayton Shirley, who got to speak to you guys last month, and man, I was so mad when he did really good, because I was like, woo, I'm going to have to go after him. Dude, his message on being elevated and influencing, don't waste your influence, like, blew it out of the water. I was so surprised. I love you. I just, you know, didn't see that coming out of you, but hey, just kidding. I'm kidding. And then PJ laying the foundation over the past 2 weeks of this series, Rise. It's not over. The first week, PJ preached on being dropped, and he kind of laid the foundation for this series. And then last week, he preached on being beaten, and he used Jubilee's story to communicate that even if you feel beaten, it's not over. And so tonight, the title of my message is Killed. If you're taking notes, which, hey, who takes notes here? Come on, raise your hands who take notes. Yes. You better at the top right now just write killed. This killed, like parentheses, underline it, do whatever you got to do. But in order for me to properly communicate this story, this message that I have for you guys, I feel like I need to tell you a little bit about myself. Like I said, I'm 21. I don't look it. I don't know what that means, but I'll take it for the good. Yes, I am 21. I am a certified pastor in the Assemblies of God. So you can call me Pastor Jonah, Reverend Jonah, or you can just call me Jonah. I don't care, really. Just call me whatever you got. PJ. Yeah, you can call me PJ. But before I got to Columbus Leadership Campus of Point University, I went to Columbus High School. So who here goes to Columbus or went to Columbus? Yes. C-Town. Yes, that is my alma mater. Whoa. Yes, that is my alma mater. I love Columbus High School. I've always been involved with music. You guys, you see me up here every week. I love music. Music is my life. But I was also really, really, really big into sports. I'm very competitive. Ask Dakota. He hates me when we play sports. We are super competitive towards each other. I played baseball my whole life. Baseball. Yeah, all my D1 athletes out here. I played baseball. And I was like the king of the diamond. I don't even care. Like, try me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm gonna be humble. But I quit baseball when I was a freshman in high school to pursue music. I was in the Columbus High School chorus led by Miss Alicia Vinson. And to be honest, I thought I was the king there as well. I'm just going to be really honest. You can ask anyone who graduated with me, Clayton. You know, Never mind. They can probably testify to this. That works. Whenever I came to Columbus High School, I got involved in the wrong crowd. Yes, it wasn't the best transition. I went to Arnold Middle School. And then making the yes, Arnold Middle School right here. Yep, that's me. So I made the transition from Arnold going into Columbus High School. And I only had one friend that went with me, and that was Paxton Barkdwell. So he is not here tonight. That is my boy. Honestly, probably wouldn't be where I am today without him either. I got into the wrong crowd. I tried to be really popular. I tried to make friends with as many people as I could. I really don't think I've ever told my parents this. Well, I have, in a sense. But I got involved in the wrong crowd, and I kind of got involved with drinking, smoking, and honestly, just being flat out honest with you guys, just trying to get with as many girls as I possibly could, and that is exactly what I thought high school was. And that was just the culture that I lived in, and I lived that life until about 5 years ago, when I entered into a singing competition here at Real Life called Real Life Idol. Yes, shout out to Real, oh, side note, Mara, where you at? Mara, oh my gosh, I almost, literally, I'm sorry, I told myself I wasn't gonna cry. Okay, no, seriously, every time I see you up here on stage, I get really emotional, because it's like looking at me, like, oh, I love you so much, continue pursuing God, sorry. It was my junior year of high school. And that single event changed my life. I ended up winning the competition, got $1,000. Don't ask me what I did with it. It was probably on clothes and food, just being completely honest. And that kind of just led me into getting into involved in worship. I applied to CLC. Now I'm at CLC. I'm a pastor. And here we are today. And the reason that I tell you this, and I still actually sidetrack, I still to this day have never missed a real life service for 5 years straight. I've never missed a Wednesday night. Not once. I have been away, but that was because I was either leading worship for another church or I was out of town with real life. But I have never actually missed a Wednesday night service. So, yeah, pat on the back for me. That's me. And so now all the friends that I had before coming to Real Life, because I think we all had those, like, we all have that, like, friend group that, like, doesn't come to church but we hang out with. At least I did. And so whenever I came to Real Life, after Real Life, winning Real Life Idol, I gave my life to Christ the next week. And all of those friends, funny story, I sat them all down at, like, one of my friends' house. I'm not going to give any names, but I sat them down at one of my friends' house, and I looked at them, and I was like, hey, guys, so Jesus is pretty cool. I really kind of like this church thing. We're having fun. It's like we jump around, we get lit. I don't know if we were saying lit back then. We were saying something. But I was like, you know, I kind of like this, and I don't really want to, like, go forth with, like, all of these bad things that I've been, like, involved with, because I just feel so much better when I'm at church. Church can be fun, right? Yeah, church can be fun. So yeah, church can be fun. And the reason that I tell you this is because some things in your life have to be killed in order for you to move forward. Yeah, some things in your life have to be killed for you to move forward. And that, for myself, were my friends. Friends. Now, tonight, I kind of want to focus on a very familiar passage of Scripture with Easter coming up. Side note, Easter this weekend, we have a couple services here at North Island Church. If you don't have a church to go to, you got three services on Sunday, 8:30, 10 o'clock, 11:30. Worship's going to be lit. I may or may not be a part of it. I don't know. But it's going to be fun. So if you don't have anywhere to go, we'd love to have you. And so I felt like it was only necessary that tonight we talk about Jesus and the resurrection with Easter coming up, you know. And so if you actually have your Bibles, can you turn to Luke chapter 23? Who has a physical copy, not a phone, of their Bible with them right now? That's what's up. I was literally like, that was not me. That was not me in high school. I'm just being real. Like, I was on my phone. But yeah, I wish I could be that. Anyways, Luke chapter 23, verse 33 through 36. It says, when they came to the place called the Skull. Time out. The name of this place was called the Skull. Like, I do not want to go to a place called the Skull. And they crucified him there. They're talking about Jesus. Alongside with the criminals. One on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. And they said, you know, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing me to have this opportunity, God, to communicate the word that you have given me. Lord, I just pray right now over each and every person listening, Lord, that this won't be just another message. Lord, this won't be anything that we just write down in our notebooks and we just don't turn back and look at it ever, Father. Lord, that this is a word that will penetrate our hearts tonight, God. Let us fully give the attention to you, God. And in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. So as Jesus was put on a cross, the soldiers mocked him, they laughed at him, and eventually they killed him. And all of the people who were witnessing this happen had also heard and witnessed the countless number of miracles, signs, and wonders that Jesus had done. So here at this, let's kind of like visualize that like we're at this place called the Skull. I'll let you visualize however you want to look at the Skull. I think of the place from The Lion King. What's that place called? The Elephant Graveyard. Yes, the Elephant Graveyard. That's my favorite movie of all time. The Elephant Graveyard, that's how I pictured whenever I read this, the skull. That's just in my mind. That's what I said. And so all the people around here witnessing Jesus being nailed to a cross with a crown of thorns on his head, blood pouring everywhere, looking at him, laughing, mocking him, saying, you know, if you really are the king of the Jews, then why don't you just save yourself? And so there was no doubt in their minds that this was Jesus, the Son of God. But as soon as he was put on a cross to be killed, their perspectives kind of changed. You know, they started to lose hope and felt as if there was no direction in their lives. And all hell was coming against them. It seemed as if hell was winning. And even though Jesus had been put on a cross, there was a time period where people thought that it was over. Now, I tell you this, real life, to show you that even when you kill the things in your life that are holding you back from a deeper relationship with Christ, hell is still going to come against you. I'll say that one more time. Even when you kill the things in your life that are holding you back from a deeper relationship with Christ, hell is still going to come against you. Temptation will never leave you. You will always be faced with challenges, difficult seasons and struggles. However, it's kind of all how you react to it. You know, there's a quote that I was looking up by a famous pastor. I should have put this in mind. I think it Charles Swindoll. Yeah, Charles Swindoll, I think was his name. It says, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Now, when Jesus was on the cross, he looked at all the people who were sitting there laughing. Now, there were a couple who were mourning, who didn't want it to happen, but for the majority of the people there, it was just a lot of soldiers who were just wanting him to be dead. Jesus looked out upon all those people and still proceeded to say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And tonight I actually have a video that can kind of put into perspective the amount of pain and suffering Jesus went through on the cross. And little warning, it's a little graphic. If you don't like blood, sorry. That's all I have to say. But I really want you guys to see kind of what Jesus went through on the cross. So if you guys want to play that video, that'd be great. Yeah, every time I was preparing what I was going to say after watching that, I was like, tears every time, because that's not just a movie. That's not just something that happened. That's real life stuff that happened. And just right there at the end, you can tell by the looks of all the people's faces that they weren't expecting that reaction out of Jesus. They were all kind of in awe after sitting there laughing, saying, hey, can you see the temple from up there? Or, King of the Jews, if you really are God's Messiah, why don't you just save yourself? Just kind of laughing at him and mocking him. To have the heart to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. After Jesus had been killed and crucified, he was taken off the cross and placed in a tomb that was secured by a giant rock and a guard outside. And now the Bible doesn't really say much about that 3-day waiting period of in between the cross and him actually dying and then him resurrecting. There's not much that it says. I was actually in PJ's office when we were talking about it, and I was like, you know, I couldn't really find anything that the Bible says about that in between, like, waiting period. It was like some perfume, like, happened, but, like, that was it. But then he looked at me and he said, you know what I've been thinking? It's kind of funny that you mentioned that. Just when all of this happened, and I kind of mentioned it a little earlier, was it looked as if hell had won. It looked as if hell was winning. Like, can you actually imagine being someone who had witnessed Jesus perform all of the miracles, to even be alive at the same time that Jesus was alive, and then hearing that he was killed and placed in a tomb? This was the man that was supposed to save them, that was supposed to bring them into the promised land, yet this was what they saw. They saw him die on a cross. I'm sure people were confused, disappointed, and even concerned with how to go about living the rest of their lives. But I'm here to tell you that life may look like everything is falling apart, but the good news is that it's not over. The good news is that it's not over. Now, the women that were in that video, they were from Galilee, who were here with him, who was there with him when he was crucified. Now, they knew that it wasn't over. They knew that it wasn't over. They held on to the truth that Jesus had told them that he was going to rise from the dead in 3 days. And so the story of Jesus continued that on the third day, the women went to the tomb where Jesus was buried and didn't exactly find what they were expecting to find. They came across an angel that said to them, "He is not here, he is risen." They ran to the disciples, and Jesus met them and told them to go to Galilee, where they met up with the rest of the group. And after they arrived at Galilee, Jesus then gave what is known in the Bible as the Great Commission. And so the Great Commission is still in effect today, and it says that Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." Now, Jesus had to die and resurrect in order to complete many of the prophecies from the Old Testament. So the Old Testament, just this was where I was. I didn't know what the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament was when I started coming to church. Old Testament, basically a scripture before Jesus was alive. There you go. Cool. And so the Old Testament, they obviously couldn't know, but there were these people called prophets. And there were prophecies that said Jesus was going to die and resurrect in 3 days. And if he would not have done this, if Jesus wouldn't have died on a cross and resurrected in 3 days, then those prophecies would have just been false. Then what validation do we have to the Bible if that would have never happened? The Bible probably wouldn't have even been here. But the reason that I tell you this is because Jesus had to be killed in order to be resurrected. Jesus had to be killed in order to be resurrected. Band, you guys can go ahead and come back up. Y'all did so amazing as I continue. I've never invited the band before. That was weird. That was kind of cool. Sorry. That's just me thinking. Anyways, Jesus himself had to be killed. Just think about that. The perfect, sinless Son of God was killed. Jesus never did anything wrong. All he did was he loved every single person that came in contact with him. He showed them what true love really looked like. And so the reason that we celebrate Easter is not just because something happened over 2,000 years ago. We celebrate Easter because our God is alive and active in our lives today because of what happened 2,000 years ago. Now, you guys know that I love music, and I love worship. Like, these guys did so good tonight. And so I love music and worship. And so just thank you for even allowing me to be able to lead you guys in worship every week. I love it. It's an incredible honor. But oftentimes, you know, we sing songs about God's love. And one of the songs that we sing a lot, and sometimes you guys might hate me because we do it a lot. I'm sorry. I love the song. I just feel like God wants to tell us about his love, is Reckless Love. And, you know, we sit out here and we sing the lyrics that say, "His love chases us down. It fights till we're found. It leaves the 99. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. But he still loves us so much that even if there was one person on this earth, that even if it was just real life, even if it was just you guys right here, if we were all the last people on the face of the earth, Jesus would do it all over again if he had to. He would get on that cross and die the brutal and painful death that he did just for us, because that's how much he loves us. And so growing up in church, or not growing up in church, growing up in church, like, spiritually, I guess, I've only really been coming to church for, like, 5 years. And so just, like, in that time period, as I was kind of studying about God's love, like, I never really understood how I'm supposed to feel that, I guess. I never really understood that there was, like, this... Honestly, I didn't know, like, how to view God. I was like, is this like, creature that's, like, I don't know. Like, is it this person? Is it, like, this floating cloud? Like, I didn't know what God looked like or how to feel him or how to hear him. And, you know, I told a story, I think, last week or week before last about how I was in a worship service. And, honestly, one of the first times I'd ever felt God, like, physically was in a worship service where I was raising my hands and I felt a hand grab me and pull me closer to him. I think I shared that last week. But before then, I didn't know what I was supposed to do, how to view God. And so how many times have we questioned God and his love by asking a few questions, like whenever struggles are coming against you, whenever you feel like all hell has come against you, that every single person in your life hates you, all of these things, and you ask yourself, why me? Why is this happening to me? I've asked myself that question, honestly, probably once a week. Why is this happening to me right now? Or for some of you who have been coming to church for a while and do have a semi, you know, like, or a good relationship with Christ, you ask yourself, or when God says, hey, go invite that person to church, or hey, go pray for that person over there at school, or hey, you know, don't hang around that crowd, and you say, well, why me? Why do I have to be the one? Clayton said it perfectly when he was preaching, and he said that he felt as if he had wasted his influence in high school. And what I would give to go back. All the people that I had influence over, the people that I could have easily brought to church, the people that I could have easily said, hey, just come on, just come with me, we're just gonna hang out, whatever. Like, why did I have to sit that group of friends down and say, you know, I can't be friends with y'all anymore? Why couldn't I have just, I always replayed this scene in my head of, why couldn't I have been like, hey, I'm not gonna just walk away from this situation. You guys are coming with me to church. Like, the influence that I had was, just don't waste your influence. And then another question that I used to ask myself was, why doesn't God love me? Maybe you've witnessed or asked yourself this question, God, why would you take away one of my family members? God, why would you allow my mom or my dad to be in a car accident and killed? Why would you allow one of my best friends to be shot and killed? Why would you allow this to happen? Why me? Why is this all happening to me? Do you not love me? Or maybe you've been in this situation of the, oh, well, if God really loves me kind of thing. If God really loves me, then why did my parents get a divorce? If marriage is supposed to be the example of your love for Christ, the relationship of Christ is supposed to be a reflection of marriage. Yet, if God really loves me, then why did they separate? Do they really not love me? Does God not love me? Or maybe you've asked yourself, you know, if God really loves me, why do I have suicidal thoughts? Can we all just stand across this room tonight? If you've ever asked yourself one of those questions, I don't want you to raise your hand or feel like you have to rush up here to the altar right now. But if you've ever asked yourself one of those questions, why me? Why doesn't God love me? Why did God take away one of my family members? Why did my parents get a divorce? Why do I have suicidal thoughts? Does God really not love me? If you've ever had one of those kind of thoughts, like I said, I don't want you to raise your hand or whatever. I do want this to be really serious. But just know that if you've ever had one of those thoughts, you're not alone. I guarantee you are not alone. Each and every one of us, honestly, it's something that I've thought for a while, or not thought for a while, but something that I had to get over. And it wasn't until as of, honestly, like a year ago, that I really and truly felt God's love. So tonight, altar call is very, very simple. There's two things. One, if you have ever dealt with not being able to feel God's love, or like you've never felt God's love, and whenever I finish praying, I want you guys to come to this altar. And two, if there are things in your life that you need to kill in order to resurrect your faith, in order to move forward, you know that you can't go another day saying that you love Jesus because you have a couple of things in your life that you need to get rid of. I want to let you guys know that tonight is that night.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed, make sure you hit the subscribe button for our weekly sermons, and don't forget to follow us on social media for updates. If you have any prayer requests, feel free to email us at reallifecolumbus@gmail.com. We'd love to partner with you in prayer. Be sure to tune in next week on the Real Life Podcast.